Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another Nacho Tuesday. And today I have Pujan here with Kintsugi. And without further ado, we'd love if you can introduce what you guys do over there. I've heard a lot of buzz about the company, but would love to hear the backstory there.
Of course. First of all, thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm representing the entire team here at Kintsugi. We are 37 employees strong and growing very aggressively. But on a 30,000 feet view, what we do is we put companies' sales tax on autopilot. What that means is if you're either a software company or an e-commerce brand, we help you with sales tax compliance end to end. That includes registrations, filing, remittance, handling sales tax exemption certificates, even helping you get compliant on your back taxes that you may owe to different jurisdictions through voluntary disclosure agreements. We essentially automate all of that stuff. And the way I like to think about it is it's a hybrid approach where automation when you need it and a white glove service when you want it.
Yep, that's really powerful. Yeah, I know, especially with e-commerce companies, sales tax and little things like that, they might think it's a little thing, but those could really add up and become a lot of problems for a lot of companies, especially if you're selling internationally. It could be a nightmare actually once you try to go back and try to fix it when it's too late. So I guess what got you down this path to start Kintsugi, and how did you develop this passion for sales tax?
For sure. I think I jokingly say that like sales tax and just tax compliance is in my DNA. My dad actually worked in the space for 37 years of his like professional career. And over his professional journey, worked with the likes of Avalara, Savos, Vertex, some of the massive players in the market.
Very cool.
And look, like sales tax is something that I saw, like even when I was growing up, I remember going to the office with him, seeing stacks and stacks of paper, because back in India, a lot of invoicing happens physically, and him meticulously going through the data to essentially make sure that while the founders and the company was focused on top line revenue and growth, he was helping companies get compliant. So not necessarily sexy stuff, but oftentimes very important, but somehow overlooked stuff. And the reason why I decided to start this company and we incorporated in like 2023, we started working on the idea much earlier than that, was there was a Supreme Court ruling. This was South Dakota versus Wayfair, where sales tax prior to this used to be a big company issue. But after this Supreme Court decision that happened in 2018, it became a problem for every e-commerce brand and every software company. And the TLDR of the case is they basically changed a key part of sales tax where it said that even if you were an online business, you had to keep track of where your customers were coming from and buying the product. So in the case of e-commerce, that's a ship to address, but for software, it's the bill to address and get compliant based on where your customers were buying your product from.
Yeah, somebody that's managed an e-commerce business myself before, I got to tell you, it became a nightmare after that court ruling. I remember that coming out actually. And then, the accounts are starting to chase you down to make sure that you're compliant in each and every state. And it just, like a service like yours would really come in handy in that regard. So was your dad more on like the strategy side, or was he also technical in nature as well too? Because I understand that you have a technical side too, and you kind of help build this whole thing.
Yeah. So my dad is not technical. He's not an engineer by training. He's what we call in India a chartered accountant. What an equivalent here in the US would be a CPA.
Yeah.
So he's an accredited person whose life was to help companies get compliant on taxation.
I mean, where you came in is like, I'm going to use technology to help scale what you do.
Exactly. So I think like when my dad made me aware of this problem space, especially when this like Supreme Court case was going on, I was still at Facebook as a senior engineer. And I come from a data and AI background. And look, sales tax is something that Kintsugi did not invent, right? It's a problem that has existed, but I think what we are uniquely doing is how we are solving for it. And if I were to identify three different pillars, that would be number one, how we leverage a PLG-led motion. And that was pioneered by my co-founder and CTO of the company, Jeff Gibson. So kudos to him and a shout out to him. The second pillar is the hybrid sales approach that we are taking in, where unlike our competition, you can actually get started and get onboarded with 7 clicks or 3 minutes. But we also offer white glove service where if people do have questions about sales tax or want that handholding experience, that our sales team can provide for that. Yep. And I think the third pillar, which is part of our moat, is our AI, which allows us to essentially like expand into various jurisdictions faster than a competition.
I'm just kind of do like a quick overview as well, so you can maybe integrate with somebody's existing systems, maybe probably have a Shopify integration. Is that correct?
Yeah, we do. So we have integrations with Shopify, Chargebee, Stripe, and even QuickBooks Invoicing. So how this works is like, you get started by clicking the Get Started button on Kintsugi. You go in, you connect your ERP and billing solutions. As soon as you connect those and you put in information about where you have employees at your organization working from, within 7 minutes, we show you your sales tax exposure, aka where you have to get registered for sales tax, and the liability associated, which is the amount of sales tax that you need to pay. What oftentimes happens is when an e-commerce business, for instance, like sets up shop, they think that Shopify is taking care of their sales tax.
Yeah.
Well, Shopify definitely has a button where you can check mark and say, hey, collect sales tax, but it does that. And it does not do it intelligently. You have to cross a certain threshold, which in sales tax jargon is called sales tax nexus, to start getting registered and then start collecting and remitting sales tax. And the second mistake that oftentimes like founders make, especially first-time founders, is they think that sales tax is due annually when actually it's due monthly, which makes it very, very much impossible to be compliant.
That's tedious. So I guess with that in mind, I guess, what do you find a lot of SMBs also get wrong with managing their sales tax strategy? You mentioned a big one there. A lot of them think it's an annual thing they can deal with at the end of the year, like all the other taxes, but it's really something they got to stay on top of each and every month. Anything else they should be aware of or probably doing wrong today?
I think there are two camps of people where like a founder falls into. Some of them actually kick the can down the road when they shouldn't. And these are people who are, they start getting some product market fit. They're doing some Facebook ads, Google ads, and really getting customers on their website and selling.
The fun part.
The fun part, yes. Which is they're hyper-focused on the growth, but they do not collect sales tax. And a couple of months in, especially as the business crosses this 500K threshold where they're selling in multiple states, they get a letter in the mail saying, hey, the sales tax is, you need to be compliant and you aren't. These are the liabilities and penalties associated. Please get compliant ASAP. And given that they haven't charged sales tax from their end customers, now this comes out of their profit margins, which is roughly around 9%, which hurts a lot.
Yeah, it's not a bill you want to get.
No, you don't.
When you don't expect it.
Exactly. And the second camp of folks are actually folks who are in some sense like too cautious, and they collect sales tax on each and every transaction. But that actually, and I'd argue that's even a worse problem to have, because if you collect sales tax and you don't remit it to a state, then that's a misdemeanor that you're causing. So you can get into a lot of legal trouble. In addition to it, you are not supposed to collect sales tax unless you're crossing these thresholds that I was alluding to, which can be in form of number of transactions that have happened in one jurisdiction, or the dollar amount associated with the transaction, which is why Kintsugi, I think, is a quintessential piece of the puzzle. Is it's solving for that use case where our intelligent APIs can tell you where to collect sales tax, how much to collect sales tax. Once it's collected, how do you remit it? How do you pay for it? And not only do we tell you, but we do the entire thing for you. So we get you registered, we get you remitted, we get you filed, we take care of your sales tax exemption certificates, if that's the kind of business that you have. And if you have back taxes, let's say you're operating your business since 2016, 2017, but you haven't paid attention to sales tax, then we can also get you current.
Yeah, aren't we glad we don't have to go through all the paperwork like we used to in the past, huh?
We do all the heavy lifting for you, so you can focus on growing your business.
So does your onboarding experience just have like a big easy button? It sounds like it. You just hit the red button and, you know, we just automate a lot of that stuff for you.
That's the idea. And I think this is the key insight that we had, was a lot of people kick the can down the road.
Yeah.
And for us, like, what we do is we want to make this like PLG flow very seamless, where somebody can come in, they can connect their data sources and tell where their like full-time employees and contractors are, and then see their sales tax exposure and liability. Now they have an option. They can either chat with our sales team and onboarding team if they have some complicated use case or if they want a human in the loop. But for folks who are very much like, I do not want to talk to anyone, they essentially just click a button, put down their credit card information, and we get them registered. And at the end of next month, we get them filing.
That's great. Is there any common ways that you see SMBs maybe overspending on their taxes as well too, where this might be able to help them save money?
For sure. I think like a lot of US is a very interesting use case when it comes to sales tax, because oftentimes if you're relying on platforms like Shopify or Stripe to do your sales tax computation, they just rely on the zip code for sales tax calculation. But a zip code in the US can span two different states. And if you look at sales tax jurisdiction, it can basically be part of up to five different sales tax jurisdictions. Wow. So what Kintsugi does is we do address validation at a roof level. So if you have a ship to address in case of a physical product or a bill to address in case of a software, we can tell you very precisely precise enough to a level of rooftop that this is the amount of sales tax you should be charging, so that at the end of the month, when you're trying to close your books and do the compliance piece, there are no surprises.
Very neat. And do you guys have any? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. And Andy, one thing I would mention is there's only one other competitor of ours that offers this service that I just referred to. And again, kudos to our entire like product team and engineering team, where our competitor charges $50,000 a year for that piece, and we provide this free of cost to everyone who's using Kintsugi.
Wow, that's amazing. Do you guys have any sort of dispute like a feature as well? Like, let's say a government starts coming after one of your clients, you could say, we have a report that shows, you know, this is how we actually calculated the sales tax data, and you could provide that to the government accordingly.
Yeah, so we do have that. You can actually like export all our reports about how we are calculating sales tax. In addition to it, all our premium customers, they get what we like to call as the Kintsugi guarantee, where we cover up to $2 million of audit insurance, as if you want to think of it that way. So in case like a business gets audited and they're using Kintsugi premium to put their sales tax on autopilot, we'll make sure that we are interacting with the government and make sure that you're not, if there are any fines that they're incurring, we are covering them.
That's very cool. So it's kind of like a QuickBooks, not QuickBooks, TurboTax, where they offer the account auditing if you need that service as well too. That's smart.
Yeah. And I think like for more experienced founders, they realize that they want that peace of mind, which is why people want to choose us. They're like, I do not want to deal with like sales tax. It's a non-revenue generating activity. It's very boring. It's a necessary evil, but still has nothing to do with the business. So they can focus on the business. And
you're the guy selling the shovels and the gold rush. You know what I mean? Now, not the coolest, not the reason everybody thought they were there, but you know, the guy making all the money actually at the end of the day, you know, providing people an actual service that they do need.
That's the big idea. Just getting started there.
I like it. So diving into the world, I guess it's an ever evolving world of sales tax. Can you explain some of the trends you're seeing in sales tax programs, maybe at a national and maybe a global level?
Yeah, I think like, so let's talk about the US. This ruling happened in November of 2018. By November of 2019, 48 out of 52 jurisdictions, including Puerto Rico and DC, had sales tax rules regarding how to charge on like physical products that were being shipped, D2C products. And ever since then, so we had a global pandemic in the middle, but just to give you some context, after the Supreme Court ruling, US collected $600 billion in sales tax in 2022, the first year after we had COVID vaccines and whatnot. And that number is just going up and up.
And they like that number.
It is a pretty big number. And essentially, like what has happened is a lot of local jurisdictions and local governments realize that as the IRS is getting weaker and with the rising interest rates, sales tax has become the number one source of revenue for these local governments. Statistically, right now, for 54% of states, sales tax is actually number two source of revenue. And for the remainder 42%, sales tax is number one source of revenue.
Wow.
So that happened on a US level. Now, when some massive change happens in the US, a lot of other countries follow. Yeah. So you see similar trends in Europe, you see similar trends in Canada, in Asia, with the VAT, the CST, GST. Even Dubai, which is traditionally known for no taxes, is now introducing a value-added tax.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting, actually. Do you know any states that don't have sales tax? I know Oregon doesn't, and a lot of people from Washington State actually go down to Oregon to buy products and come back up. But I would imagine it's only a matter of time, to your point. It is a great revenue generator for governments.
Exactly. And I think that's the key insight is like, I think every jurisdiction was watching very closely when South Dakota tried to make an example out of Wayfair in 2018. And when they succeeded, they were like, everyone realized that this is a very big piece of the pie. Yeah. As I said, $600 billion of sales tax collected by US in 2022, and they want a piece of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the meta point here is, I think sales tax rules, when they were written originally, they were written for brick and mortar shops.
Yeah.
They were not written with like internet in mind and all these online marketplaces shipping products directly to the consumer doorstep. So I think 2018 was a big, big waking call of essentially the Supreme Court realizing that these rules are archaic and they need to be updated. And a lot of what we are seeing are the ripple effects of it.
Yeah, and it's going to continue to go in that direction, it appears. So I guess with that in mind, too, is there any sales tax redemptions or exemptions, I guess, that business owners should be aware of? Maybe if they do have a good program in place, like what opportunities are there that exist for them to be able to maybe write off or avoid some of these sales taxes legally, of course?
Of course. I think like, as I was alluding to like earlier in the call, within those two camps, depending on where the founder falls, over collecting or under collecting, I think the answer is somewhere in the middle, which is being very diligent, and they don't have to use Kintsugi, but being very mindful of using intelligent APIs at the time of checkout that understand their business so that they're collecting and remitting the right amount of sales tax. I think that's a happy middle. Number two, I think what businesses can do and should do is one feature that we offer for free for all our customers is product classification. Because as you can imagine, sales tax can be different for different things. So I would take like clothing as an example. Up to a certain dollar amount, clothing is sales tax exempt. But if it's more than, I believe it's either $150 or $250, depending on different jurisdictions, then it's applicable to sales tax. Now, for somebody who's selling clothing online, they may not realize this. And this is where like companies like Kintsugi, especially our intelligent API, can help figure that out, because in real time, we see what's the dollar value associated. In real time, we see what are the product that is listed on the transaction piece. So, and we can help you optimize this piece of the equation for you.
And how about internationally too? I know obviously Europe, the whole world's interconnected, doing a lot of e-commerce these days. So how do you see the relation between, say, the Europe and the US, and maybe if you're buying a product from Europe or vice versa, the sales tax situation there, and how companies could, you know, either optimize that process and avoid, you know, not getting caught, not paying for taxes that they should be paying for?
No, for sure. I think one key thing, and I think this is the biggest thing that I see when I'm talking to customers, is a lot of folks don't realize that they can actually either apply for sales tax exemption certificates or collect certificates when they're buying raw material or selling to other B2B businesses.
Yeah.
Europe, for instance, actually has a pretty robust program to handle that, where you can share a unique code with the person that you're doing business with. And if they can avoid sales tax, you can programmatically check this at the time of checkout, so that if, let's say, Pujan is selling something to Andy, and Andy supplies this code to Pujan, Pujan on Pujan company's invoice does not charge sales tax, does not collect sales tax from Andy, and doesn't have to remit it. So you solve the problem at the invoicing level. What I do see is people not doing this.
Yeah.
So it's boring stuff. I would, like any other founder, I would much rather focus on increasing the revenue going up and to the right. But what you instead do is you essentially pull back. And there are all these optimizations that you can do to run a very sustainable business.
Yeah, that's a good point. I personally didn't know that one. I think a couple of the vendors I've worked with over the years did have that kind of ruling in place and did ask for me to work accordingly. But you have to be very proactive with it, right? And a lot of these vendors, you know, both in Europe and here, aren't aware of that specific exemption. So I think, you know, that's a really big one you just brought up there.
Thank you. Yeah, and the list goes on and on. We can sit here throughout the day, and I can tell you all these interesting ways.
Or just press the Kintsugi button, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Love it. So how do you see, I know you guys use AI. So how do you see AI and that technology playing into the role of tax collection going forward, both in terms of, you know, maybe how you guys utilize it, and maybe how do you think governments might actually start using it to assess how much money you might potentially owe?
I think, yeah. So like, I'll start with the first piece and then move on to the government piece. I think for us, the reason why we have been successful so far in capturing the market is we are not building an equity shop of CPAs doing the research of sales tax and how these rules that can change on a city, county, state level. We are leveraging a lot of these like cutting edge tools to say, hey, has any of the local governments that we are constantly keeping track of, have they published any new jurisdiction? If they have, we have an in-house sales tax engine that can parse the new rule, and it can tell how, with what confidence are we certain that the parser has done the right job. If we are supremely confident, more than 99%, then there's no human being in the loop. And as a result, we are able to update the rules and have our customers follow the latest rulings in a real-time basis. If in case there is that our parser is unsure, then we have in-house sales tax experts that can go and look at those rules, fix those rules in the system, which, by the way, if a rule is published, you have anywhere between 90 days to 180 days from when the rule is published to when it goes into effect. And so our Kintsugi full-time employees who are sales tax experts can go in, fix the rules, and then provide that as a feedback to the AI model as well.
Yeah.
Now, with that AI model, we can actually land and expand in a lot of different countries quite rapidly. We are expanding into Canada. Later this year, we'll be expanding into Europe as well and UK. And because now we don't have sales tax experts doing this research to the same degree as what the number of people that perhaps maybe a CPA firm would hire, we can do a lot of things at least a tenth of the cost. Number two, Andy, I think, and this is something that you were alluding to, is once you connect your data sources to Kintsugi, both your revenue as well as where you're paying payroll, we can use Kintsugi intelligence to tell you how you can optimize your sales tax. That is dependent on product classification. We can tell you what is the best category that you can, of course, this is legal, that how you can classify your products to basically make the most intelligent decisions for your business, because we have a 360 view of your business.
I'm sure CFOs and accountants love you guys.
Yeah, they certainly do. We are just getting started, but I think the initial traction shows that we are doing a lot of things right.
Surprise. I mean, I've seen, you know, I saw your guys' posts online. You guys have built up quite a community, actually. So it seems like a lot of people are really excited about what you're doing. Now they're like, yay, sales tax automation. Finally, hey, somebody did it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think like that's the key unlock here, right? It's using PLG and AI in tandem with providing the white glove service, whether that's from our sales team or from our onboarding team, to basically say, hey, we'll meet the customer where they are in the journey. Oh, they want to talk to a sales rep? Sure, let's jump on a call. They want to talk to somebody who has done onboarding for sales tax? Let's get them into a call. Oh, they have a unique case for sales tax. Let's get them in touch with a CPA who is a full-time person here at Kintsugi. But there are also a lot of people who are like, I do not wish to talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm doing. Just take my money and solve this for me. This is boring, unsexy stuff. Yeah. And they can hit 7 clicks or take 3 minutes and put their sales tax on autopilot. So really, we really want to embody this idea of meeting the customer where they are.
Yeah, I agree with you. Some people like the white glove service, but there's been a big shift in software sales towards the self-service model. A lot of people are really educated. They have access to a lot of online material to figure out how to use something, and they like to kind of figure it out themselves. And if you make the onboarding UX very easy, they'll just, you know, like you said, a good percentage of people are just kind of go plug and play themselves. So
exactly. And like, that's the thing. Take this and combine this with utilization-based pricing, as I should say, mm-hmm. I think that's a match made in heaven. So let me walk you through a concrete example. Let's say it's a business that has connected their data. They see that they owe sales tax in 8 different jurisdictions. They choose that they want to put only one jurisdiction on autopilot using Kintsugi. First of all, we'll never force anyone to get registered and compliant in more states than they want to. Ultimately, it's the business owner's decision. Let's concretely say this is the state of New York. We get you registered. That's a $100 one-time fee. Yeah. Once you're registered, let's say your business is not doing a lot of transactions or dollar amount in this state of New York. So New York comes back and they say, you only have to like comply with your sales tax on a semi-annual basis. What we will say is we will charge you $100 every 6 months to do that remittance and filing piece.
Nice.
So
yeah, that's really
the monthly cost is not $100 a month, it's actually a lot smaller than that because we only charge when we actually interface with the government systems for you. Everything else, it's our service to the founding community to be like, just set up and make an intelligent decision about whether you want to get compliant or not.
Yeah, that's a smart choice, especially considering, you know, like I mentioned before, the other part of AI is that a lot of governments are starting to adopt this technology. So they're going to be looking for better ways to be more efficient and productive in collecting taxes. So they're going to be using AI tools to help identify, you know, businesses and areas where they could be potentially, where they might be potentially missing out on sales tax. So, I mean, the race is on, right? So, you know, you have to really fight AI and this productivity feature that you guys have created to get ahead of the sales tax issue to make sure that you're compliant. Because if you don't, I mean, the government will catch up at some point using the same productivity tools on the other side to figure out if you actually owe them money or not. So,
no, that's exactly right. I'll tell you that states are realizing as well that, without getting political, states are realizing that they want high-income individuals and businesses to move there. So they're actually disincentivized to charge high on income tax. And as a result, they want to charge based on usage, which is sales and use tax.
Yep.
So they want people like you to move to their state so that their state gets a lot more money, but they only charge you a portion of what you spend. And I think that's a more intelligent way of conducting business.
I think so too, honestly, because it's like a necessary evil. It almost feels like you're paying based on consumption. Like, I want to do something. Okay, there's a little fee attached to that. I'm okay doing it, right? I do see that in states that have been able to do it effectively. I do think it's a great revenue generator for them.
For sure. I think that is what gets me super excited. And to your question about how do states find out if they want to be compliant or not, it's, look, with the IRS kind of like weakening a little bit, local governments are realizing that they're on their own. And when you have somebody on payroll, you as a business owner have to get registered. So they have that information on the payroll. Now, they can actually go to all these platforms like Shopify, like Stripe, and they oftentimes do and do these regular audits. Like, hey, for this FEIN number, how much sales are they getting in our state? And with automation and AI, they can run this a lot faster.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants the piece of the pie, right? So
yeah,
the incentives are very aligned for them to come after businesses.
Yeah, just once again, skate where the puck's going. They're going to come after you. So get ahead of it as well. And, you know, with that said, I'd love if you could give people again, you know, a couple key reasons why they should pick up Kintsugi today and start working with you guys. You know, like I mentioned, the government, you know, is figuring out how to optimize their tax collection methods. So, you know, now's better than ever to kind of get ahead of that. But yeah, I would love if you could highlight a few other key points for anybody in the market considering automating their sales tax compliance.
I would say like a couple of things. I think we pride on our excellent customer support. Our onboarding is super easy. Like takes you 7 clicks or 3 minutes. We have an hybrid approach where we have an excellent like sales and onboarding team to provide you with that white glove support should you need it, or you can do it yourself. So it's a kind of a choose your own adventure. And look, there's no onboarding fees. There are no annual contracts. There's no fee that you're paying upfront to connect your data and see your liability. So at best, what you're doing is educating yourself to see where your sales tax exposure and liability stands today. And as one of the three co-founders of Kintsugi, I'll assure you that we will never force any business to get compliant in a jurisdiction where they don't want to be. So we truly believe in creating value for our end customer. And if you use Kintsugi to put sales tax on autopilot for any given state, only then do we actually collect our fee.
It's very smart. It sounds like your product sells itself.
That's the big idea.
Yep.
Just make it super easy for the customer and really create value for the customer.
anything else they should be aware of before they head over to, is it kintsugi.com?
It's trykintsugi.com, just trykintsugi.com.
Perfect. And yeah. Anything else you'd like people to know?
No, I think we are beyond excited. We support businesses of all shapes and sizes. Our largest customer does more than hundreds of million dollars in revenue. Our smallest customer does like $50,000 in revenue. Some of our customers are pre-revenue and we don't charge them anything. We support all use cases from software, both B2C and B2B, and also e-commerce, whether you're on Shopify, BigCommerce, WooCommerce, Amazon, Fair, whatever. So I'd say it doesn't hurt you at all to either book a demo or get compliant with us. But
that's incredible. I don't think I'd be excited about a sales tax product, but I love your guys' product strategy and your mission and values over there. So I have to say, I'm pretty excited to hear about this company today. And you know, I'm sure everybody else is too. Press that easy button. Try kintsugi.com. Check them out today, Pujan. Once again, you know, really excited to be partners with you guys. We do have Kintsugi and Nacho Nacho's B2B SaaS marketplace as well. Go there today, check it out. We do have the best brands at the best prices. Obviously, we have the best sales tax compliance software there is, thanks to Pujan here. So check them out today, either in Nacho Nacho's marketplace or at trykintsugi.com.
Awesome. Thank you for featuring us, Andy. And a big shout out to the entire Kintsugi team. I'm just the face of Kintsugi, but it's really, truly like some exceptional people that work here that actually have helped us like build the strategy and like execute. So I believe that ideas come dime a dozen, but the way you execute and at the speed at which you execute matters most. And keeping the customers front and center is hugely important for us.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I've seen, yeah, a lot of people talk very highly about your business and you. So whatever you guys are doing over there, you're doing it right. So keep it up.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, once again, Pujan, thanks again. For everybody else listening, it's trykintsugi.com or check them out in the Nacho Nacho B2B SaaS marketplace. Thanks and have a great day.
Cheers, Andy. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks, bud.